Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I want to speak for a while on the subject of music. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." I want to speak on the subject of music, not as one that knows much about the mechanics of music or music theory. I don't believe that an individual has to have spent many years playing an instrument in order to pick out some good Christian music and to reject much of the religious music that has been used in recent years in many churches. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 19 states, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The verse before that says, "Be filled with the Spirit." It could certainly help if the musicians and singers in our churches were filled with the Holy Spirit. It would be a great blessing if all of the musicians and all of the singers in our churches were surrendered to the Lord so that the Lord filled them, used them, and directed them. Don't expect the carnal and worldly in our churches to be led by the Holy Spirit in making music selections. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 contain some interesting information. It states, "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." It seems that singers and musicians, at least in part, had brought this movement of God in the house of God. And it could greatly help our church services if the hearts of our singers and musicians were in tune with God. Singers, musicians, are your hearts in tune with God? Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 19 mentions psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are the kinds of songs that we are to use in our church services. Psalms. We have God-inspired psalms that we can sing. Our church has enough scripture songs that we can fill a song service with the scripture songs without even opening a hymn book. And yet we sing only a very small fraction of the scripture songs that could be sung from the Bible. There might be someone out there that could put many portions of scripture to music. That might be a calling for someone. That might be something that someone does as a ministry. But one problem that can arise when putting scripture to music is that the timing can sometimes be hard to follow. If you put 5 words in one verse, don't try to cram 15 into the next verse. Sometimes the words from a verse of scripture might be matched with the tune of a familiar hymn, and that could make it easier for people to learn the scripture song. Consider Isaiah 53:6 to the tune of "Nothing But the Blood." Part of Isaiah 53:6 is repeated in the verse portion of the song, and part of Isaiah 53:6 is repeated in the chorus part of the song. "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Psalms can be used in our services much more than they are. Singing from the scriptures of the King James Bible can be one way to encourage people in the audience to use the King James Bible. It can also help people toward the memorizing of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, not only speaks of psalms, but it speaks of hymns as well. Hymns give adoration to God and are to be sung to Him and sung about Him. I believe that American churches do not sing enough to God. We tend to sing more about God than we do to sing to God. One hymn that is written to God is, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." The first verse says, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be." Another song written to God is the hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy." The first verse of another song that is largely addressed to God says, "Come Thou, Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father, all glorious, or all victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days." Repeatedly in the Psalms, we are instructed to sing unto the Lord. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2 says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." The last in the list of the three in Ephesians 5:19 is spiritual songs. I believe that these songs tell of spiritual experiences. I think that these make up a great deal of the songs which we normally sing. These are largely testimony-type songs, such as "Amazing Grace," "I Found a Friend," "Now I Belong to Jesus," and "Oh Happy Day." Thank the Lord that there are so many good Christian songs to choose from that are so doctrinally rich and accurate. Here's a warning. In our day, some people in conservative churches might bring into the services songs by contemporary carnal singers or Southern gospel entertainers. They might tone down the music so that it is more acceptable in a conservative church. This can be a dangerous practice. In our day, if someone hears a song that he likes, he might search until he finds a recording of that, and he might buy that recording. If you're using songs by contemporary carnal singers and Southern gospel entertainers, then ask yourself, who am I leading my listeners to listen to? If they search for songs that I sing in church, who will it lead them to? Not only should the song leader and pastor be careful about the songs that are sung in church, but every other member that introduces a song in the church needs to take responsibility not to mislead others. In a factory, if each person along the line practices good quality control, then that can leave little for a quality control inspector to find at the end of the process. If every musician and singer involved in church music would self-inspect, then it could leave less for the pastor or music director to correct. If you want to introduce a song into the church's music program, then you check out its origins. If you want to sing a song for church, then you make sure the words, the music, and the quality are good. If you want to play an instrument in church, then you make sure that you are playing what is fitting for church. Also, if you're going to do an instrumental with no words, make sure you pick a song that the audience knows. Playing a song that the audience does not know is like speaking to the audience in an unknown tongue. How is the church going to be edified if they do not know what you're playing? There can also be the problem of singers not pronouncing the words to a song clearly so that the audience does not understand what is being sung. Psalm 33, verse number 1 states, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Don't sing the songs of God carnally or hypocritically, but sing them sincerely, sing them spiritually, and sing them properly. The next two verses say, "Praise the Lord with harp, Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Praise God musically. Praise God vocally. Praise God freshly, as it might be said, with a new song. Praise God skillfully and loudly when it's appropriate to do so. In John chapter number 4, Jesus Christ said these words to the woman at the well, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Notice those words, in spirit and in truth. The opposite of that would be to worship God in the flesh and in hypocrisy. And I believe so often in song services there are people that are not worshiping God in the spirit and in truth, but instead they're worshiping God in the flesh and in hypocrisy, and that is unacceptable to God. If you look into the lives of many of the popular contemporary religious entertainers of our day, you may find that in many cases there is serious doctrinal error, worldliness, and wicked living. Try to do a little research on a song before you introduce it to the church. I realize that every song in the hymn book and that is approved by good churches was not written by a sold-out, separated, independent Baptist. But do consider where and to whom you might lead others by the music selections that you make. And remember this, in a good church, if you introduce a song to the church without checking the background of it, someone else might check the background of it. Here is a suggestion. This is not a hard and fast rule, but it is a suggestion. Search for songs whose authors are dead. I realize that might seem to be a strange suggestion, but I want you to consider this. In Hebrews 11, the Bible lists a number of old saints that I will be in heaven with that had great faith. Three of the men that are listed are Jacob, Samson, and David. Ask yourself these questions. Would I want Jacob, a polygamist, to teach Sunday school in my church? Would I want Jacob as pastor of a church that I attended? Would I want Samson, which was rebellious and lustful during his life, to be a leader in my church? What about David, the polygamist who committed adultery and had murder committed to cover it up? Would I want him to be the pastor of a church that I attended? Now let's consider another man, the reformer, Mr. Martin Luther. Many of us may have used a song that he authored in church services. He wrote the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The song has some tremendous words. Was the man an independent Baptist? No. Did he have doctrinal error in his stands? Yes. But there's one thing that Jacob, Samson, David, and Mr. Martin Luther have in common. They are all dead. If Mr. Martin Luther were alive today and he took all the same doctrinal stands that he took back when he was living, would I encourage our church to go hear him and to use his song? I don't think so, but he is dead, and I think the danger is lessened.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.